The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord. While a man dies and finds himself in front of the pearly gates, and St. Peter explains that it is not so easy to get into heaven. There are some criteria before he's allowed to enter. So he says to the man, "Did you attend church?" "No," the man replied, and St. Peter said, "That's bad." And then he says, "Were you generous? Did you give money to the poor, to charity?" And the man says, "Nope." St. Peter says, that's very bad." And he said, "Did you do any good deeds? Did you ever help your neighbor do anything?" "No," the man replied. And now St. Peter was getting very concerned. Exasperated, St. Peter said, "Look, everybody does something good during your lifetime. Work with me. I'm trying to help you. Think." Well, the man responded, "Well, there was this little old lady. I came out of a store and found her surrounded by a gang. They had taken her pocketbook and were shoving her around. I got so mad I threw my bags down, fought through the crowd and got her purse back. I then helped her to her feet. I then went over to the biggest, baddest man and told him how despicable, cowardly, and mean he was." "Wow," said St. Peter, "that's impressive. When did this happen?" The man said, "About 5 minutes ago." Today's gospel really is all about heaven and hell and about the final judgment. And the Lord gives us the parable called the parable of the wheat and the weeds. See, what this parable is referring to, how the good and the bad will coexist in the world and even in the church until the end of time, until the second coming of Christ. The wheat, of course, represents God's people. It represents those in the state of grace, those that are living their faith. The weeds, though, are those that are in the state of mortal sin, that are turned away from God. And God allows both the saints and the sinners to live in the church and in the world until the second coming. In today's gospel, the owner had planted good seed, but the devil sowed wheat in the midst of the wheat. He sowed weeds in the midst of the wheat. And when the owner finally found out, the servants came to him and said, "Do you want us to pull up right now? Get rid of the weeds?" And the owner says, "No. If you pull up one right now, it'll damage the wheat. Let them grow together until the harvest. And then at the harvest, we'll separate the weeds from the wheat at harvest time." And he says, "I'll collect the weeds and we'll burn them, and the wheat will go into the barn." If you notice later in this gospel, the Lord actually explains this parable in detail. He says, of course, the good seed is sown by the Son of Man. These are the children of the kingdom. And he says, the weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of time, the second coming of Christ, the general judgment. And the harvesters are the angels, okay? That's why we have to have a good devotion to the holy angels, because they're going to be the one that are going to separate the good from the bad, the wicked from the holy. And he says that just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. I will send out my angels, Jesus says, and I will collect out of the kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. So we don't want to be in that category, right? You don't want to cause other people to sin, nor you don't want to be one of the evildoers. Because Jesus says they will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. That's an expression for utter despair and desolation and eternal separation from God. But he says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. And that are those will be the saved. Those will be the ones with the Lord. Now we know that before the general judgment comes, before the end of time, Jesus tells us in Scripture that there will be some signs that will occur before this happens. First, he says in Matthew 24 that all the nations will have heard the gospel message. But then the Lord also tells us that there will be a great apostasy, which means a great falling away from the faith on the part of large numbers of people. Even nations will have rejected the message of Christ. And third, the Antichrist will come. The Antichrist will be a man who will work great false miracles and lead countless souls away from God. Now, when the judgment will be, we do not know. Because Jesus says not even the angels know when the second coming will be. Only the Father knows when the second coming will be, the general judgment. However, there will be some signs that will occur before the general judgment. Jesus says again in Matthew chapter 24, he said, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars will fall from the skies, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So you'll see great natural disasters. You'll see the stars falling from the sky, the sun will be darkened, and in the heavens will appear the sign of the Son of Man. Most of the theologians say that it might be the cross, an image of the cross up in the heavens for all to see. And then Jesus says he will come back with great power and majesty, accompanied by all his angels, and he will come on the clouds of heaven. And then the Lord tells us again, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, that the angel will blow the trumpet, and a great sound will arise, and all the souls will be raised up. Everybody who's died, their bodies will be resurrected, whether it be cremation or a burial. All the tombs, everybody in the tombs will come back to life. And then is what's called the general judgment. The general judgment. And everybody will be there, from Adam and Eve until the final people that would ever live on earth. All men, women, and children, all the angels will be there as well for the general judgment. Now, the Catechism teaches us that we've already gone through the individual judgment, called the particular judgment, at the moment of our death. We go either immediately to heaven, immediately to purgatory, or immediately to hell, one of those three places. But as you know, we do not have our bodies at that time. Our souls are by itself. We don't have our bodies. It's only at the end of time that the glorified body is given to the souls in heaven. A body will also be given back to the souls in hell. And if there's any souls left in purgatory by then, they all go into heaven at that moment, at that time, if they've not entered heaven already. Well, you could say, why does God have a general judgment as well as a particular judgment? And the Catechism says it's because man is an individual, but we're also a societal creature. We're a social being, which means our lives affect the lives of others for good or for bad. And this is when you get to see the effects of someone like an Adolf Hitler or a Stalin or a Mussolini or a Mao Zedong. You see the repercussions of their actions and their choices in the lives of others. You also will see the good that was done by someone like a Mother Teresa or Pope John Paul or a St. Francis or a St. Paul or a St. Peter. You'll see how their lives affected the lives of others for good. So not only are we individuals, but we're social beings. So we're judged individually at the hour of our death, but then we're judged as a whole, as humanity. And it's not a different sentence. It's a public confirmation of our individual judgment that we've had. And one of the, I think, the most powerful thoughts, according to the Catechism, says that at the last judgment, each one of our thoughts, words, actions, both public and secret, will be made known to all creation. It says this fact should urge us to avoid everything of which we should then be ashamed that will be made public. When we are tempted, let us remember that the hidden things of darkness will be revealed on the last day. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 8. For there is nothing hidden that will not be made manifest, nor anything concealed that will not be known. So right now we have this opportunity. We have the opportunity either to be God's wheat or God's weeds. Either we'll be gathered into His barn, into heaven, or tragically gathered and burned in the fires of hell. Ultimately, those will be the two destinations for every person, for every soul will eventually wind up in one of those two places. The Lord gives us this opportunity to convert, to go to confession, to be in the state of grace, to be God's wheat. Because we look forward to the second coming of Christ. It's not something we should fear. If we're ready to meet the Lord in the state of grace, it's something we look forward to. That's why we pray in the Our Father every day, Thy kingdom come. Every time we say the Our Father, we're praying for this event, for the second coming of Christ. Thy kingdom come is what we pray. So we pray that during our life we will be God's wheat, which will be gathered to heaven on the last day. God bless you.